Appreciate the presence of each one, especially the presence of our visitors this morning. We're going to take the subject of our study this morning from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you'd like to read along with me from your Bible or from the charts on the screen, you may do that. I believe all the text that I will use will be from the New King James Version, unless otherwise indicated on the text or on the chart. In Ephesians 5 and in verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." Be imitators of God as dear children. If you're studying from the King James Version, that word imitators is translated followers. Be followers of God as dear children. But the Greek word that is translated followers there is more easily understood as imitators, and perhaps more correctly translated as imitators. Translated as such in most of the newer versions, English Standard Version, American Standard, New American Standard Bible, New International Version, and so forth. The word imitate means to follow as a pattern, model, or example. It's actually the word from which we get our English word mimic. An imitator, then, is a person who copies the words or behavior of another. One who does what others do, simply. Several times in the Scriptures, Christians are told to imitate someone, and I thought it might be interesting if we look at that subject. If Christians are told several times in the Scriptures to imitate someone, we ought to know who it is that we're imitating and what it is that we're imitating about them. So let's look at those. First of all, we note from our text that Christians are to imitate God. Look at this in the context. The context of Ephesians 5 and in verse 1 actually goes back into chapter 4. This is one of those places in the Scriptures where there's a bad division of chapters. In Ephesians 4 and in verse 31, Paul said, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." Know this, just as God in Christ forgave you. Just or like God in Christ forgave you. What's Paul calling upon the Ephesians to do? He's telling them to be like God. As God has forgiven, then you're to imitate God. Because the very next verse, the very next chapter, "therefore," there's the conclusion, "therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." So Christians are to be like God. We're to be like God in all respects. We're certainly to be like God in his love for us, in that he forgave us. And we ought to be a forgiving people. We ought to follow the example of God. The reason for this, of course, is given in the text. Be imitators of God as dear children. As we're children of God, we ought to imitate our Father. Who should God's children imitate more than their own father? Who would you want your children to imitate more than you? Of course, for us to imitate God as our Father, God must be our Father. And God would desire us to imitate him, because from the very beginning he made us in his image. Genesis 1 and verse 46, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." So is it too much for God, who created us, to desire that we imitate him or mimic him in word and behavior? It's not too much at all to ask. In 1 John 4 and in verse 7, John said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves," note this, "is born or begotten of God, knows God." The one who has been begotten of God is a child of God. He knows God. He has fellowship and association with God. He's his Father. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, note this, If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There's the idea. If God loved us to the extent of giving His only begotten Son on our behalf, we, as His children, ought to mimic Him. And we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. That is, His love has been brought to maturity in us. We've become more like God. So again, Christians are to imitate God as their Father. We're also told that we are to imitate Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In 1 Peter 2 and in verse 20, "For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. For to this you were called." To what were you called? Well, back in the context, suffering for righteousness' sake. Suffering for doing that which is right. Christ has left us an example in that you should follow His steps, mimic Him, follow His pattern, imitate Him, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled did not revile in return, when He suffered He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Christ has left us an example. And we ought to follow that example. We ought to be willing to suffer for righteousness. Suffer for righteousness' sake. Christ indeed left us an example. One who can live in the flesh and not sin. Think about that. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Jesus teaches us by example that we can live a life in the flesh and not sin. Hebrews 4 in verse 15. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He had indeed provided us an example. And now sometimes we sing, "I want to be like Him." Do we really want to be like Christ? We ought to want to be like Christ in all respects. All the words that He used ought to become our words. All the actions He engaged in ought to become our actions. We ought to mimic His behavior, because He taught us and showed us how to live in the flesh and to be free from sin. Christians are also told to imitate the Old Testament worthies. In Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 10 and following, "For God is not unjust to forget your works and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, lazy, slothful, but imitate, mimic, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Well, to imitate those Old Testament worthies, and an Old Testament worthy mentioned is Abraham. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." The Old Testament worthies provide examples for us to follow. Abraham was a man of faith. When God made a promise to him, and he didn't fill it for 25 years, Abraham didn't falter in the faith. When God made the promise, Abraham stood fast. He stood firm on the promise that God had made. Abraham was 75 years old when he was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. But he didn't have a son, that is the promised son, until 25 years later when he was 100 years old. God had made the promise, and Abraham had faith in that promise. We ought to have that same kind of faith. That causes us to stick to the promises of God that He's made to us and be imitators of those Old Testament worthies. Of course, we're to be imitators of those who are worthy of such imitation, mentioned in the New Testament as well. Paul said of himself in 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 16, "Therefore I urge you, imitate me." Imitate me. Would you call upon people to imitate you? The words that you use and the behavior and actions and deeds that you engage in, would you tell people to imitate you? Paul lived such a life that he could tell people to do that. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, though, he said, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Imitate me as far as I imitate Christ. Because sometimes, and Paul did, all men, saint or sinner, will live a life in such a way that sometimes he'll not want people to imitate him. And so Paul said, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." Just as far as I imitate Christ, you imitate me. You follow me. You mimic my words and mimic my behavior. As long as those words and behavior are according to the behavior of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, Paul said to the saints at Thessalonica, "And you became followers or imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." They became imitators, followers, in that they received the word under threat, punishment and persecution, tribulation. They still received it, though they knew they were going to be persecuted. 2 Thessalonians 3 and in verse 7, Paul said to the saints at Thessalonica, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves," note this, "an example of how you should follow or imitate or mimic us." So we ought to imitate or mimic those who are worthy of imitation, those who set an example according to the will of Christ. In Philippians 3 and in verse 17, Paul told the Philippians, he said, "Brethren, join in following my example. Be fellow imitators." That's the idea. Actually, the phrase "join in following" is all one word in the Greek. Be a fellow imitator. Be one whom others should look to. "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." We ought to look for people whom we can imitate. We ought to find people in our lives whom we associate with, whom we can imitate. And there are people. We would hope that our children would imitate us as long as they see us engaging in godly behavior. We would hope that if we had elders, we could imitate them. Because as a matter of fact, the scriptures teach us that Christians ought to imitate godly elders. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7, Hebrews 13 and verse 7, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, whose faith imitate, whose faith mimic, considering the outcome of their conduct." Who's under consideration? Seems in the context that it is the elders under consideration. As mentioned in verse 17 of the text, Hebrews 13, verse 17, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." So Christians ought to imitate godly elders. But again, we ought to imitate them only as far as they imitate Jesus Christ. Acts 5 and in verse 29, Peter said to the other apostles, answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." We ought to imitate godly elders as far as they imitate God, as far as they imitate Jesus Christ. Let's not follow those who are even elders. Let's not follow them off into ungodliness. Let's not follow them off into false doctrine and false teaching and engaging and practicing those things that are contrary to the will of God. If they're not worthy of emulation, then let's not follow them. It would be true of anyone. We should only follow and mimic those who are following God, who are following Christ. So don't ever blindly follow elders, preachers, or any other Christian into transgression in anything if they are not following God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if we're to follow God, if we're to follow or imitate Jesus Christ, if we're to imitate the Old Testament worthies that are worthy of imitation and the New Testament worthies that are worthy of imitation and elders that are worthy of imitation, what about other Christians? Well, there are other Christians who are worthy of imitation as well. Christians are to imitate those who are worthy of imitation, those who do good. 3 John in verse 11, the Apostle John said, "Beloved," to Gaius, he said, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." I should have put the context of this passage on the screen. When he said, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil," perhaps he had in mind the one who he mentioned in the immediate context, Diotrephes. And when he told Gaius not to imitate what is evil, but what is good, perhaps he had the individual in the context, Demetrius, in mind. And so, imitate those who are worthy of imitation, those who do good, agathos, those who lead a life that is virtuous, upright, in the sight of God. Not one who is evil and wicked and engages in that which is evil and wicked. But imitate what is good. In our reading this morning in 1 Peter 3 and in verse 8 and following, Peter said, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." Now I want you to note the context. All of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Imitate one another. Imitate those who do good, not those who do evil. In the context, reading on in verse 10. "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Oftentimes they use the illustration of a parent who sees a child doing that which the child ought not to do. And the child looks up and sees the parent's face, and the child sees that the parent is displeased with his actions. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He doesn't look kindly upon those who do evil. We are to mimic or follow or imitate those who do good. He will smile upon us and our behavior and our actions if we do that which is righteous. Verse 13, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" Who is he who's going to harm you if you become followers or imitators of what is good? Is God going to harm you? No. He's going to look kindly upon your actions and your deeds, your behavior, if you follow what is good, if you imitate what is good. Again, agathos, virtuous, upright, clean, pure. That which is morally upright in the sight of God. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." When an individual or a congregation, regardless of who it is, conforms their actions to the Word of God, then and only then are they worthy of emulation? Those who do good. Yes, congregations can even be emulated. When we see a congregation that is doing good in the eyes of God, that is doing that which is virtuous and upright, that which is authorized by the Word of God, that which God would approve of, that which God's Word teaches us that we should engage in. When we see other congregations doing that which is good, they're worthy of emulation. As a matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 14, Paul said, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same thing from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans." So the Thessalonians had become imitators of the churches of God in Judea. That is, they saw the churches of God in Judea undergoing persecution. And they stood fast. And the saints at Thessalonica will imitate them now. They stand fast even in the face of persecution. So when we see a congregation that is doing good, we ought to imitate them. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. As a matter of fact, Paul approves of one congregation imitating or mimicking another in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 1, where he said, "Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you." That is, it's not necessary for me to write to you. This is in connection with what he had commanded in 1 Corinthians 16, that upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as it may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. That is, Paul was giving instructions to the Corinthians, as he had to the churches of Galatia, that there was being a collection made up for the needy saints in Jerusalem. And Paul and others went throughout the regions collecting that money to take to the saints in Jerusalem. And on this occasion, in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul says, "Now concerning the ministering to the saints," that's what's under consideration. That is, the collection of funds that had been made up for the needy saints in Jerusalem. "It's not necessary for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago." Achaia here is the Roman province of which Corinth was the capital city. Achaia was ready a year ago. It's saying that Corinth was ready a year ago. "And your zeal," as he writes to the Corinthians, "has stirred up the majority." So what's Paul wanting done here? "Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it's superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority, of which I boast to you about the Macedonians." The Macedonians are to be used as an example by the Corinthians. Paul had boasted of the Macedonians, that is, the churches in Macedonia, that were poor, and yet they had contributed significantly to the needy saints in Jerusalem. The churches of Macedonia would be those churches like Thessalonica and Berea, Philippi, those churches. And the Corinthians are to imitate or follow them. Paul is encouraging them to do that. So Christians are to imitate churches even. That is, Christians who make up a congregation, when they see other congregations doing good, well, to imitate them in the doing of good. But when an individual or a congregation does not conform to the will of God, does not bring their behavior in conformity to the will of God and regarding His Word, it is to be rejected. We are not to follow it, we're not to imitate it, whether it be an individual or a congregation. There's great value in having one to emulate. Think about it. If you as a child had no one to imitate or emulate or to imitate when you were growing up, who would you have learned from? We've often heard the phrase, monkey see, monkey do. We learn by hearing people speak, by seeing people act. We imitate their behavior. We imitate their actions and their words, their deeds. There is great value in having one to imitate. If you do not have one to imitate in your life, you need to find someone. You say, well, I'm going to imitate God. I'm going to imitate Christ. You can't go wrong. You can say, well, I'm going to find an Old Testament worthy. I'm going to emulate him. I'm going to emulate her. I'm going to find a New Testament worthy. I'm going to emulate them. I'm going to mimic their life. I'm going to follow every example that they set, as long as it is in harmony with keeping of the will of God. By doing so, one shows a better way for others. One shows the way as a better helper for others. Because if you imitate those who are not worthy of imitation, yourself is not being one who can be emulated. Do you remember the poem that I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day? I have just the first verse of that. Begins this way. I would rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The best of all the preachers are the ones who live their creed. For to see good put to action is what everybody needs. Amen. That's a good poem. It goes on. It's kind of lengthy. You ought to look that up. I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. Been around for many, many years. But it speaks the truth contained in the Word of God in regard to emulating others. I ask you this morning, are you a Christian? If not, it's time to become one. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Willing to repent of your sins, confess Him before this audience, be baptized for the remission of your sins? That's what you need to do, become a Christian. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. That is God's power that He exercises in your life to bring about your salvation. The gospel tells you to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. It is only powerful enough to bring about your salvation if you're willing to render obedience to it. As Jesus told His apostles in Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes that gospel and then responds in obedience to it, that is in baptism, will be saved. The implication is, if one will not believe God's power unto salvation and respond in obedience to it, he will not be saved. You have many in the New Testament whom you can emulate. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost heard the gospel, believed it, and responded to it in obedience. Many others we read about in the New Testament. You can emulate their behavior. They're worthy of emulation in as far as they believed and obeyed the gospel. You've had others in your life that you've known who believed and obeyed. Emulate them in that. Mimic them in their behavior. And then as children of God, let's live our lives in such a way that others can imitate us in as far as we imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, repent of that sin. Confess it. And we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.